Very good. Welcome today. If you have a team on the commission, we take them about the quarter to 3 or so. All those are well. Thank you, DJ.
Thank you, sir. Let me try this. So the next issue was the question of the disbursement. Why was there a delay, or what were the conditions? And why, the conditions related to, for instance, ESCOM optimizing its energy generation processes, in other words, you know, showing efficiency gains, and there was a number put to it. It also related to things like adhering to their build program plan on time, because the idea was to put pressure on them to make sure that that program moves with speed. Then there would be things like minor things, but important still, about making sure that critical positions would be filled at all times, so that the entity would be operating at full strength. At all times, there were then, failures here and there in terms of the information, and we held back, and then they complied and they transferred the money. On the Project Spiderweb stuff, we have not yet received a report from SSA. Honorable Putin, they asked about whether growth would be a reflection of Treasury's failure. No, it's not. I mean, although some people sometimes believe that the Treasury wields this enormous authority, if we say the economy must grow at 5%, then it should, and in fact that's not going because of not told it so. But the point about it, look, if you look at the structure of government, the real sectors of the economy that drive growth, your manufacturing, your mining, telecommunications, you can name them. They are not agriculture, for instance, primary sectors. They are not under the purview of the Treasury. We don't control what happens there. We can influence it, and the minister can in CM because they are part of the cluster and they participate in those discussions. So I would say, if there is one thing that different parts of government are truly collectively responsible for, it is the growth of the economy. Because if, for instance, anything happens, whether it's even security, that can undermine confidence, you know, dysfunctionality in one part, or let's put it in the positive, if a different part of the system proves to work very well in a way that restores confidence in how things work, and then that contributes positively, first to confidence, and ultimately to growth. On inclusive growth, it's a very interesting way to pose the question. I would say this. I hold the view that the main way of including most people in the economy is employment. I actually believe in this. And I suspect that if I'm asked to prove it with numbers, I can show it. The main way in which most people ever participate in the economy is through being employed. Now, that is not to say that other parts of being included in the economy aren't important. But I'm just stating the fact that if you look even just at numbers, there will be one entrepreneur employing a dozen or half a dozen or some people. Most people get their income through employment. And yes, which takes us to your next set of questions. Transformation matters, especially in a country with a history like ours. The empowerment of historically excluded groups matters. We have got a suite of pieces of legislation that are aimed at achieving this. The one under the Treasury's purview is the Preferential Procurement Policy Framework Act. But the Triple B Act is under another department. There will be a whole range, as I say, of pieces of legislation that are aimed at redressing the imbalances of the past. Sometimes they overlap because, for instance, when you talk designations between ourselves and DTI, we have got a role to play in that stuff. Now, the issue about the inclusion of black professionals getting a share of the pie, or fair share of the pie of government work, it's something that I actually think that the whole of government, not just the treasurer, the whole of government has got to answer. I mean, the treasurer, as you would have seen, only has a budget of about, our operational budget is about 29 billion. No, leave the operational budget of the treasurer, not the transfer, not the past budget, right? It's more about 2 billion, our budget, which is spent on personnel, about 600 million of it, 800 and something, right? And then the bids, we don't. Beyond just buy the accommodation we have and buying sugar and tea, you know, those kinds of things, small onion things. We don't buy stuff. The department that builds things, that buy big things, and so on, are other departments. And the policy frameworks are there. The policy frameworks are there to help guide this. Now, let me say, I'm aware that too quickly, when one or some other policy does not gain traction, then people look for someone to blame for it, which is not necessarily the most developed way of approaching life. When a policy is not working very well, as we have learned, for instance, even with the triple PFA, that there are elements that we can improve. You just have to knuckle down and say, let's talk to the stakeholders and say, what is it that we can do differently? And then you do it differently rather than look for scapegoats. And I think that's part of what is spoiling our system, is the fact that people do look for scapegoats. And indeed, let me say that at a time like now, when the economy isn't growing fast, when budgets for goods and services, which is where we buy professional services and so on, are squeezed, we try to either not get the services or get them as efficiently or as cheaply as possible. And in that process, two things then happen. It means that businesses are competing for a smaller pie. Naturally, then people's slices of that pie get smaller. But secondly, it also just means that we, you know, each accounting officer will tend to be more vigilant when they look at the costings of the different businesses. You know, I sometimes challenge, for instance, when you take, maybe with lawyers you can even say it's different, too different. But for accounting and auditing firms, I've never understood why their pricings, you know, or prices differ too much. You know, because the training is too uniform. You know, if you are to audit treasury, why should one department or business say we can do it for 4 million, and then another business say we can do it for half that? And one of the fights that I will confess to that we have with providers of services is I would never buy for a higher price if I can get something for a lower price. Because I wouldn't do it with my own money. I wouldn't then, with a clean conscience, do it with the state's money. And so those are the balances. On future growth, you are right, Honorable Taylor, we didn't know about it. We had informal conversations. For instance, in my case, I had conversations with two individuals in relation to this. they neglected the fact that in terms of process, they didn't go through the process we are describing it of informing the entities first, but they still held the view from the conversation I had them that the step they took was a considered step. They didn't take it lightly. They had deep and proper appreciation of its impact, but they felt that they have a duty. They have a duty to make sure that when they have got questions or doubts about whether it's governance issues, whatever concerns them in the entities, causes them to raise issues, then they have to do so. I don't know if they were using a bit of blackmail. They said, you know, if we manage your pension, we still would want to make sure that we put it where we'll get it back, right? So, and I said, sure, I would want that. And I do think that there may be a place for those kinds of things, painful as they may be. They are wake-up calls. You should ask ourselves, how did we get there? How did we end up with such questions being raised, by the way? Because it's not a question of someone just woke up on the wrong side of their bed and decided, today I'm going to say this or do this. And as we know now, after their process, they have come to the conclusion, for instance, that with the land bank, they will continue to do business with them. Of the institutions that fall under the treasury, for instance, the DPSA is in that category. I don't know, the Lakers have been away, whether they have come back on them. Samba was there, and so on and so forth. In essence, I take it that whilst it may be a painful and terrible short-term inconvenience, if people have said or done things that raise questions, the questions should be asked. And it may be good for the system. It also teaches us to be responsible. I mean, I get attacked a lot by people. They say you always talk to please, bond investors and stuff like that. I say, okay, in your case, if you walk into a bank when you're going to borrow money and start swearing and spitting at the face of the manager and say, then give me your money, that's not how I was socialized. So I'm saying that's where that is. Let's hope that as they do their due diligence process, they will come to the conclusion that things work well in these entities and then start lending to them, and that would be fine. Delayed payments, this is another matter that I feel, in fact, more strongly about, that the more people ask, if the National Treasury doesn't pay suppliers, and you go and ask DTI, why is National Treasury not paying suppliers? You'll never get the right answer. The right thing to do with this is to say, Department A, you are not paying. You have an accounting officer. You have a CFO. Here, I'm in front of you. Here is my CFO. You have observed yourselves on our annual report. We pay people on time. Now I have to answer for other people who are paid exactly the same as I'm paid. Why should that be so? Why should it be so? And in fact, if you go to the NDP, what you find is the fact that one of the damning findings about our system is the fact that accountability isn't as strong as it should. I am paid to do certain things. I fail to do them. I keep my job. It can get worse. The guy next door, does the human nature, does his job or her job very well for one or some other reason, gets kicked out. Now, having said this, Honorable, we have done two things as a president. We have worked with DPME to make sure that cabinet has got the information on who is not paying suppliers on time. And we do an age analysis of these amounts, these delayed payments.
Right? Now, that's a fifth step in it, to use the information to act. Unless they didn't know the different executive authorities. But the second thing that was done is to set up a call center, right? So that people can call us. And what we then do is to use our influence in government to say, but hey, Momo, we understand that you have not paid supplier B. Do you have a query about their invoice or something? Didn't they deliver the service? If they did, can you please assure us that you will pay? But they can't fire my counterparts. But their executive authorities can fire them. And the system will work if we do that. We have got no knowledge of the internal memo. It looks like you've got better channels than us.
Can I just ask can I suggest that you speak for another 15 minutes?
Okay.
It's tough, right? But then you see, if you ask any question, you will get a reply. Can you reply to the question in a different way? What if it is complimentary?
I can also.
I might be finding what you're saying fine. You're talking about the response, it's difficult to rush through the start report, right? So can I suggest the following? If it's agreeable, then you speak for another 15, maximum 20 minutes. Then we allow about 10 minutes or so for comebacks as well, and 10 minutes for you. So my 2:45, preferably, delicious, absolutely free to start the talk. But 2:45, preferably. So if that's okay with me, anybody got any other ideas? That's it? Good. Let's move on.
Thanks, Honorable Chair. Honorable List, the auditors, I understand the AG is going to take over SAA. We have had that conversation. The fee-free thing that was raised by Honorable Shivambu and then Honorable Mabe.
Sorry, before you go on, can I just report to the speech, which I should? This is Parliament time, right? It's really the executive will answer the Parliament. I need to let you know one. The Commission invited the Chair of Finance, as I explained, it is more an appropriation to all the folks of the fiscal framework issue. So the Chair of Appropriations has either appeared before the Commission or is about to appear before the Commission. So that's constant engagement around that, because the Commission wants to know what happens in Parliament. Two is Vivasani Yanki, people always think that some of the nation is in the afternoon. Vivasan Yanji sent me an email on Monday to say that the PBO, Parliamentary Budget Office, unfortunately for you, not here, to bring our email on Monday. The Parliamentary Budget Office is shortly going to report to the Appropriations Committee. I think it's next week or shortly thereafter. So what I'm seeing for now is a mandate for me to negotiate a date with Yvonne to report that about when we meet so that we can have a joint meeting. The appropriations and the hopefully also higher education and our committee meet to look at the fee issue. So I'm just letting you know, there's nothing we have to do just now because appropriations has been attending to this matter anyway. What's also very interesting is the current chair of appropriations is the former chair of higher education, which is familiar with the issue. So I'm just telling you that so that the members, when they come back, have a sense of some things are happening. I don't know if you're going to be ready, I think, later this week. We'll send it out to all of you. Thank you.
It's looking at the very same issues that the story raised there in Pune. Doesn't describe the specific thing that Pune and the story where it seems to be real. It's saying that something has to be done.
Okay. Yeah. Now, let me say, Chair, only fee-free, let me put it differently, although it was fee-free, only financing of higher education. I actually think that more needs to be done than quickly running to solve it in a financing problem. There may be a number of policy even equity or redistributional issues that would have to be considered before then, South Africa says, this is the problem we're solving, and this is the instrument to solve it, and this instrument will cost, let's work out how much this instrument will cost. What do I mean by this? And I'm not going to belabor the point. I studied partly through TEFSA. I had no problem whatsoever with the fact that I had to pay back a loan. I was very happy that I could be afforded the opportunity to get an education of the kind that I got. So it would just appear to me that there is a case to be made for those who benefit from the education, the students themselves, whilst they have it, to pay something. Now, you can debate then how much debt is reasonable to start your work life with. And then you say, let's cap and things like those, you know, the loan amount. And so. But just expressing my view here, which I feel quite strongly about. Of course, there would be redistributional implications, by the way, equity implications of sorts. It could just turn out to be regressive to say everyone, regardless of the income status of their parents or themselves, should get a free higher education. On the specific proposal of tax and pension, I would tread carefully because at the end of the day, if you're on a defined benefit scheme, once you have taken people's money and then you take it away and there's a shortfall when they come at the other side of the employment. But again, this can be shown in numbers, what it means for different categories of people. The question would perhaps first have to go to higher education and then to us, or make some joint work between us and higher education. Certainly, students do need to be helped. No one should be excluded from the system purely because they don't have money up front to pay for the education. The modified cash system and stuff that you were referring to, we understand that people have difficulties. We need to strengthen our support for them. The Jobs Fund, supporting agriculture and tourism, I take your point. It's fair that they don't give. I mean, they vary. Some of the jobs even in those two sectors are permanent, but not all of them are permanent. The nature of government. Simplifying the application process, yes. We should do that even for smaller businesses. I take your point, and we will look into that. And training more people would encourage them. But of course, if you train the whole department 1 year, then productivity will fall.
Yeah.
The payment on time also came up. The question. Yes, with that we probably can make a compromise, say all women, but men only 10%. The funding of local government, we have run a very comprehensive, it's a pity we don't have time to answer it. We even have a conference with a whole range of stakeholders, fund managers, DBSA and so on, looking at what can be done, even using the DBSA smartly to intermediate to the extent that it may not be possible, or some funds may not be able to lend directly to municipalities, or the transaction costs associated with that. That's one side of it. The other side of it is looking at whether for instance, some of the multilateral development finance institutions have got pools of money that South Africa can have access to, but our borrowing framework from municipalities bars them from borrowing in foreign currency. So some of those entities can only lend in foreign currency and on very good terms. Still others, they can lend in rand, but only to a limited extent because they then face an exchange rate risk as well. But we have explored that area. We understand it's got a lot of potential. I answered the one question of Honorable Mabe. The remaining one is the one relating to the supplier database. We did road shows. It's interesting you said that. We did road shows. We tried to make sure that we reach out. And indeed, you were correct, by the way. There were difficulties in the beginning. Not sure. I doubt it. Let me say it categorically. They were not relating to the supplier database itself. They were just relating to the capacity of our IT system, which we are busy upgrading. But we will continually assess. I mean, this is where members of parliament can be very helpful to us because you have got constituencies, they can tell you when something is excluding them because it uses IT. But let me surprise you and say this. The numbers of people who have got cell phones, more than one, and using data in South Africa, you will be surprised. So I lived for a long time believing that people in certain parts of the country, you know, it's a kind of a perception. Having said that, I also know that broadband the penetration rate is not where it should be. So we always have to complement whatever IT solution with something that ensures that people are not excluded on the grounds of not having access to IT and so on. If there is a question that I've missed, it's because I was trying to rush.
Okay, is there anything else from your side you want to say anything? You've got at least 4 minutes left on the annotation. But it's fine, you can come back. Anybody from your side? No? Right. Okay, the details. Then we'll have, Sirpiso, Tandi, and? Okay.
Thanks, Chair. Thanks, DG, for the answers. I must say, the answers from the DG are very much worrisome. Let me start with this one about inclusive economic growth. And the DG is saying that his understanding of that is mainly employment creation. I think the ruling party has got a broader understanding of inclusive growth. And I think from where I'm coming from the African National Congress, I think it's very important, through Chair, that we really need to revisit the thing, because when you're talking about inclusive growth and you're only talking about employment, it's an old discredited development theory of trickle down, which doesn't work. Even the neoclassical economists, they just don't recognize the question of you're only going to, in this instance, I'm saying it's very, very important to teach you that. I think the department must revisit that, that's one. Two, it's worrisome teaching when an issue of future growth comes up. And it was a national disaster, that's what it is. And I hear the department says, no, we did have an informal discussion about this thing. And here one is not questioning the merits or demerits of the action which was taken by Future Group. One is questioning the manner in which it was done. I think that's and we raised this issue in the committee. And lastly, the question of pricing. I'm sure DG, when you are talking to me, you know that there's no way I'm going to raise the issue that you must go and buy from expensive suppliers. But the point one it's making here is that the so-called list price, the variations that you get in these departments where you find that these people go and get even lower prices and they come in and they make 100% variations, these are the types of things that what seems to be a cheapest price at the beginning, you find that it's so efficient is broader than the price. I think that's what one would like to argue. And by the way, why I'm raising these things with National Treasury, it's not because I want you to be a policeman or perhaps to say go to TTI and be a policeman or whatever. Where I said in my preamble is because we give out money as National Treasury, and there are policies that we follow. So we should make sure that those policies of government, if that's possible, should be done. Not because I wanted to see DG go into all these departments and carrying the cane you're supposed to. There is no way from here that we can call all the departments. This we interact into it, and the manner in which this thing is being raised is the fact that you are the ones who give up money, and we have been to other departments and said such and such a thing is not happening the right way. So I think I'll leave it there, and I would definitely like to say that we must have further engagement, especially when it comes to things like inclusive economic growth. Thanks.
Okay, Sandy.
Thank you, Chair. Maybe sometimes when I make proposals, I speak in parables to a point that I'm not understanding. When we're in room 305, I suggest PAC policy issues for a later discussion. And I know why I said so. Because to expect National Treasury to speak to issues that we need to deal with at a political level, it's not going to do any good to us. So I insist that. And I don't want to specify, and you know, which issues are political policy matters that might be taken at the political level. But we need to ensure that they're implemented. where there is confusion about the implementation of ANC policies, that's where we'll take an issue. Secondly, I'm going to piggyback on the issue of 30-day payments of small businesses. Chair, and you know why I'm going to raise it, because I used to be there in my previous life. I'm going to say in unknown certain terms that the DTI paid small business within 30 days on the spot. It's other departments that are failing to do that. The Department of Trade and Industry pays small business within 30 days. It's not an issue for debate anymore. It happened during my time. I think they've even refined it better. I don't want to even mention those departments that are not doing it. Right? So maybe at a level of cabinet, and that's not your purview again, you see we are mandating upwards. It should be raised at that level and be addressed. Sure, I thought you were covering me on the fee issue and the fee structure. In the NGO, I reminded people that it was an NGO conference resolution. It has been taken as a resolution. It's an issue that, in the current conjuncture, awaits implementation. So it's the how it's going to be incremental in implementation, basically. And suggestions then will come through the commission. We had to tackle people like Honorable Bozoli, for instance, giving very bad perceptions about the state of education and being a former professor of university, giving very bad statistics that are not in existence. So it's going to be the approach towards responding to that. And I understand the attempt to make suggestions in terms of where to source resources to address the issue. It's an issue that we must throw back to the commission, and when we meet with the appropriators, we'll start making suggestions. That will speak to the incremental approach towards achieving that goal. It's one of those goals that are not in the immediate, but needs messaging and work being done. But here comes another issue about funding of municipalities. You know, at one point, we need to sit down with statistics of municipalities that has failed to use the municipal grant that has been allocated to them. Maybe in numbers we show evidence. I know for one, a province that had to give back housing funding when there was a need but lack of capacity to spend, or to allocate it from the province to municipalities, right? And then you also have a challenge of the capable municipalities that can being given an opportunity to have lending rights on their own because of their good performance, because they generate revenue on their own. But then I once spoke about those smaller municipalities that can't even generate income at all. Some are sitting with a huge bill of ESCOM and the water board to pay for basic services, leave alone to do urban development programs. And at one point I was a campaigner in one of the meetings saying that can this urban development program also look at small municipalities, because its approach where much bigger municipalities already that are having capacity to do that on their own. Your smart city program, you might find that it's needed in a place like Halebrook, a semi-urban, semi-peri-rural area that can never in the next 20 years generate any form of income. And remember the international strategy that the Minister of DECO has said has been the silo approaches that are set towards international regions, where you find some municipality goes to China, strike a deal, and then the provincial government also come and national government came. So it becomes very difficult to even explore the potential of individual municipalities to raise funds on their own or to do investments to their own locality. So it brings the very same issue that I raised before, that as we do that, we don't only become punitive by retrieving funds, but retraining people to understand ways and means of utilizing those funds. Because sometimes we give confusing messages. We say, don't use consultants, internal capacities, and then we don't fund internal capacities. We know for a fact if someone is really making a kill outside, we don't want to come inside.
Yeah,
that's my last point. We will come back to
this. Before you reply, can we disagree on projects? See, firstly, I am a bit tired of myself as a chair. You know, I don't take things forward. But I've raised this before. You see, the way we function, I don't know if we must raise this with the house chair, which I did, by the way, we never took it forward. The way we engage here, like when I hear you speak, DG, maybe because I've been around so long, but in this committee, I've been around just as long as time is that, 2 years. Sifiso and Pule, we're not. You've said some of these things before. We're asking you the same question. What we're not doing is asking you something new in a same head to take things forward for action. So I don't know, I don't have any ideas, but I do. Where's Alan? Alan, are you in charge for this committee? Wherever you are. Okay, Antonia, write this down. This is something we have to do. Before we pass at the end of this quarter, can we please have a half an hour discussion on how we manage annual report from DRRR? And maybe Treasury's got ideas. This is like, it's too much like exchange, you know, things are left in the air. We must act. We really must act. Antonio, I'm pleading with you, no more than 50%, recounting what in any case we can find. 50% of the report, and not a long report, is on recommendations. We plead with you. The report should ideally, on Treasury and SARS, should not be more than 8 to 12 pages, maximum. And then the other entities next week. We really want recommendations.
Yeah, I'm making recommendations.
No. Can I just say? So, this is like a discourse exchange. We need another method, Tandy. It's outdated method. It doesn't help us. I'm putting the issue for you and others, especially somebody like you who's been around so long and has a former chief to think about it. Point one. Point two is you will not be able to answer all the questions. Then, Sifiso Raibi will raise questions to somebody. So, why don't we agree? So what are we going to do? If we give you up till, if you're running out of time, fishing the weekend, then we've got this money, those ridiculous money to back to your former minister, our former minister, that conspiracy. But these are the times. So basically what we're saying is, can we by Friday, you're running out of time, because Antonio said, look at your answer. And what Antonio will do is, remember, you're supposed to look, Antonio, at the last annual report and the last quarter, if I'm correct, right? So pick up on all those things, look at our last DR report, look at the minister's reply, and then take things forward. Then what I think we must do, maybe, just think about it, is that Antonio must guide this committee next year. These are the issues we raised last year. These are the replies, and take things forward. Think about that. In the meanwhile, members are required by Monday morning to put any more questions they want to Alan and Teboho to pass on to Antonio. We will give you the further set of questions on Monday morning. So if you feel your questions haven't been answered fully, come back and say it was an answer. I just want to make one or two observations. I didn't speak the last time, and that's the chairperson speaking. But here's the chairperson speaking. You know, I agree with Sifiso. I thought your answer was glib, surprisingly glib, with due respect to you as somebody of your caliber. That, and I think you meant more, but you just put it in one line. You said inclusive growth is about jobs, basically. And he says, no, it can't be. And I agree with him. Then on actual future growth, he suggests that the National Treasury didn't do enough. But I also hear you, you've got to manage these things, market sensitivity. So that is it's a fair thing to say. On the issue of the use of pension funds, I think really that is a matter that you should address when the joint, I think they're going to invite you, higher education and whoever else, to the sitting on appropriations committees. PBO budget report, PBO report. I think that issue should be inserted in there because Pule responded to what's his name, Shibambo, and said, look, you know what, there may be a case here. He's not saying that's a policy. And I do agree with Sifiso saying, well, actually, the NCC is more than just jobs. And you yourself have been saying it, on the terms of growth. And it's not a great thing. The World Bank and IMF seems to use the same term. Right, I'm done. I'm dealing with processing.
Okay.
I will have a big hand in the report and I'll put the things down. But you can take over that job if you want. I'm bored doing it. I'm very happy. I'm bored.
What's that?
Yeah, okay.
No, Chair, I run the risk of getting myself into trouble trying to answer this. I would like us to refer to the tapes. Do we have tapes here?
Yes.
I mentioned a whole range of things. I mentioned Triple BEE. I mentioned Preferential Procurement Framework Act.
I agree.
I mean, you know, and all I said the majority of people will be included in the economy through jobs. And I added, I said there is a place for making sure that there are programs to create space to be in preferential procurement, which was under us, but others fall under other people. Because all of these things put together, I didn't put it that way then, I'm saying it now, would produce growth that ensures that everyone, I even said, country with a history like ours, requires those things, because you cannot poo-poo them. You, if there are tapes, you will find what I'm saying.
Can I make a proposal?
So,
Can I suggest that there's a significant number of people in the ANC in this committee who feel that National Treasury, and just correct me if I'm wrong, is not sufficiently sensitive, though you are, but not sufficiently so, to the creation of a black, meaning mainly African, industrial class. We need an African bourgeois to advance the NDI. I think even the Communist Party will argue this. It's balancing that with broad-based black economic empowerment, the rural poor and so on. In other words, we need to deregulate the economy. We need to actually ensure that the JNC is owned by a larger percentage of black, mainly African people. We don't do these things. We just create jobs through our program. This country is going to play enormous frustration amongst emerging African middle classes who feel they've been thwarted in a variety of ways. We have to create a space for that. But my own view would be to balance that. That's not the sole task. And I think that's the subtext. If I am misrepresenting the ANC view of the study group, please correct me. There's nothing wrong with that. Maybe I misread it. Am I saying anything that the majority in the ANC don't agree with?
Chair, no, I said you must practice.
No, Chair. Yes, but I want to come to the policy issue. Sorry, yes.
Agreed with you, Chair. And I take the point that the DG is making. I think I don't know how to take it further now. I think we can always discuss this in
now, the next thing to say very quickly. You see, when Chandi talks about policy, Chandi, am I right? What you're basically saying is that that's a matter that the minister and deputy minister should respond to, and not just our deputy minister and minister, but the other ministers and deputy ministers concerned. If it is possible, and this committee thinks it's doable, and the committee is prepared to come and spend more hours here, I really think, I know Joan is preoccupied with this quite a lot. Jones Committee, the trade and industry, ourselves, economic development can make this a collective discussion. I go to Ben Martin, our coordinator in the party we come from, and we can have a sitting on this matter. But I think there is frustration, right? That this thing is not moving fast enough in all our interests. That, in that sense, Tandy is right. It's not fair to ask you to respond to this, but where Tandy may not be right is insofar as it's agreed policy of the cabinet, which gets its framework from the ANC, and it is in your document in some form or another. In that sense, CPSO is right to hold you to account to an already agreed policy. And you just reminded us the threads of what you said, but I think the way you formulated the one sentence, it's all of us suffer from it. I'm being angry about something I said on Saturday morning, and I admit it. That's what comes up. I admit it. Actually, that the way I clustered together different things. So, Chon,
what
Tani,
did you say?
Tani, let me just distinguish between agreed policy. You are misconstruing my
okay,
point.
Okay, then explain.
And I need to.
Fine, now you can respond.
No, Chair, you see. this is what I was avoiding, you see. This is exactly what I was avoiding. For those who are going to take this and want to create
no,
a hammer out of it, you
go
see, this matter is very important that comrades take this raised.
Yeah.
policy responsibilities lies with the political heads. So we should not be confused about who carries which money. And I made it very clear there. Because I can argue that National Treasury is not the only department that is responsible for inclusive debt. All other government departments are. And National Treasury dishes out money to government departments. So I don't want to raise that argument here. Because I do not want us to be perceived by those who take advantage of difference of opinions and run political campaigns like David Mania to run with this group. So let's be very cautious when we raise matters. Because I said we should be able to separate policy matters and technical matters that the National Treasury is reporting about here today. And I don't want to be misconstrued. I've got strong opinions and I can stand to that, but I do that differently in different platforms. I'm not confused, I agree to come with this. I might even be beyond him in terms of how I'm strongly or I'm strong about certain views. But I know where to do that. I know why we're here now.
Yeah, no. I don't see any difference what you're saying and what I'm saying. I'm saying there are some agreed policies. So you can't, and say you're a technocrat, you can't ask for policies that the cabinet's agreed to, defined by the majority party. So I don't think there's any difference what Tandi and I are saying. And I don't think there's anything substantially different what Chipiso and Tandi are saying. Or me. So basically there isn't. The issue really is what we mean by the word. And I think there's no difference. So in other words, agreed policies, you can't say I'm a DG, I can't answer, you meant to implement the policy. But if we ask you political questions, then look, let's do this. If we can summon, not summon in the sense that somebody used it here, I mean if we can call, I mean it's a colloquial sense. In a colloquial sense, summon meaning call. Summon has a very specific meaning, and I've clarified that with the commissioner and Murray Mitchell, and I'll put it on record because the media is here. But that's another story. I'm using summon means to call people, right, in this sense of the colloquial sense of the word. I'm being very specific and precise. I am saying call them here, right? And then we can call the ministers concerned. So one option, Tandi, if you can feel happier, we can bring all these, I don't know when we're going to do it, between now and hopefully 2020 or something, we'll get all these ministers together, all these departments together, and Tandi is going to help me to do it, these ministers together. Fine. Having said that, DG, you've got 5 minutes.
No, I won't take 1 minute. So
okay.
I'm happy.
You're the only one here, but fine.
No, but Momo here. Yeah. I mean, Momo might just produce another law to fix this case. You won't like it.
That's a real fact. Okay, good. We are done as far as I see it. The process is clear. Any questions about the process?
No. I think we must put this issue of what we mean by in the report in some form or another. As you know, I get a first draft and then I give it a political thrust. And we will sit and do the report and we will send it to you by email as normal and then you'll comment and we've got the process set up. Thank you very much all. We've got SARS on now and we've got Murray Mitchell, welcome. He's the director of the finance.